born is not digging for roots in the shadows. There's no dying of hunger stare in eyes of Chief Executive Officer of Petroleum. Somebody else is sinking into spring freeze of the soil.
This is a Building Bridges, your Community and Labor Report special filed for Wake Up Call. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Lennox Hines, a private practitioner, full-time professor of law at Rutgers University, and vice president of the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, builds a lot of bridges. Whether he defended Angela Davis or the Black Panther Party at home, or the African National Congress and the Palestinian Liberation Organization in the international arena, he champions the cause of self-determination and national liberation and builds bridges to accomplish justice.
Lennox Hines recently spoke at the African American History Month celebration of Social Service Employees Union Local 371 of District Council 37. While we expected that his talk would center on a legal challenge to the Bush administration for war crimes, he did speak on that lawsuit and more.
Hines' speech was a searing indictment of the failure of Bushonomics, which every worker in this country must pay for. He then progressed to detail the thievery of the Bush administration's contractors in Iraq and the murderous practices of Bush and his cronies. Allegations of the Bush regime's lies, theft, and murderous invasion serve as the basis of a lawsuit Hines plans to file against President Bush as international outlaw. And now, attorney Lennox Hines.
It's somebody else without weight. Somebody else without blood. Somebody else without land.
Sisters and brothers, distinguished guests, friends, assalamu alaikum, good evening. I'm with family when I'm with folks at Local 371. We share a common understanding of what's going on in America today. We understand the truth about the political, economic, and social directions this society has taken under the corrupt, callous, and deceitful administration that is draining the lifeblood from our communities. I've spent almost one half of a century of struggles for justice, both in the United States and throughout the world. I've spoken many times about a rich and inspiring traditions of African-American and African-Caribbean history, the lessons they teach about the importance of struggle and self-respect, and to demand that the people of the United States pay its respect to our oppression and our triumphs. In 2004, working men, women of color, can no longer afford to ignore the attacks from Washington against our people, the attacks against our children, attacks against working people and children throughout the world. Let's take a look at the economic impact of Bush and his robber barons' activities since they stole the election by nullifying the votes of thousands of working class and retired blacks, Latinos, and poor people in Florida. For the sake of job growth, said Bush at his State of the Union address, the tax cuts you passed should be made permanent. George Bush takes credit for job growth. That's one of the biggest lies Mr. Bush has told, or his bigger lies about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Before we talk about the illegal invasion and occupation of Iraq, let's examine the domestic damage. Nearly 2.5 million jobs have been lost since Bush became president. The most recent employment statistics have made a mockery of the Republican claim that tax cuts for the rich are the engine of job growth, and moreover, According to a recent report from the Economic Policy Institute, there has been a nationwide shift of jobs from higher paying to lower paying industries. When millions of families are suffering in the midst of what is billed as a robust recovery, we should start looking closely at the possibility that the system itself is breaking down. Such a look will prove that our problems can only get worse and go far beyond the issue of employment. Our people are suffering from cutbacks of all kinds. The New York Times ran a front-page article about your governor, George Pataki, his proposed state budget. The ominous headlines read, "Plan relies on what? Gambling." That is how important these Republicans consider the futures of our children. There was another recent story in the Times about tens of thousands of low-income youngsters in Florida who are eligible for children's health insurance programs. But incredibly, they're being put on a waiting list. Florida says they can't afford to insure the kids now. In California, an estimated 300,000 eligible children are being placed on what? Waiting lists. No one knows when they might get coverage. Whose children do you think are being put on waiting lists, and whose children are being taken care of? Not ours. Bush got at least one thing right in his State of the Union speech when he said Americans are proven to be the hardest working people in the world. Those of us who are fortunate enough to be employed are working longer hours or stringing together two and three jobs to make ends meet. Folks are working harder to do what? To keep from falling behind. To make matters worse, even the Bush administration is suggesting a proposed change of department regulations that would enable employers to deny overtime to millions of workers in a real slick move to protect the bosses. Veterans would be the first victims. The new regulations will allow employers to define some military training as equivalent to a four-year degree and declare, therefore, that their veteran employees are professionals and ineligible for overtime pay. That's your President Bush. That's his program for those who join the military. Drop into a war zone, risk your life for your country, then come home to find you are ineligible for overtime pay. These reductions in pay and the longer hours that will inevitably come with losing overtime will put further strains on families already struggling with rising health care, already struggling with lower job security, and other effects of the Bush failed economic policy. It has been said that there are two Americas. One America that does the work. Another America that reaps the reward. One America that pays the taxes. One America that gets tax breaks. One America whose needs Washington ignores. And another America, the rich, whose every wish is Washington's command. The interests of the great corporations and the interests of the wealthy are not the same as those of working families, because the power of the government has shifted so radically in favor of the interests of the few. There's only indifference to the needs and aspirations of the many who just happen to be the majority of the people of this country. The administration's budget of $2.4 trillion is expected to produce a $521 billion deficit, the largest ever in the history of the United States. Who is going to be obligated to pay back this debt? It is your and my children. It is on their backs that this debt would have to be repaid. After the regime in Washington imposes $1.5 billion in tax cuts that benefit the rich and the cost of keeping our troops in Iraq and in Afghanistan dealing with homeland security, all the domestic programs we need to benefit our children and their future will be cut or eliminated. All of the analyses show that the top 1% of earners receive almost half of Bush's tax cuts, even though that group pays only 21% of federal taxes. And we have already discussed how they failed to generate jobs. On the very day the Washington Post reported on Bush's speech, it also reported that 375,000 jobless workers will exhaust their unemployment benefits the very next day, the highest number ever recorded for a single month. The Bush administration, which clearly is contemptuous of our interests, is run by who? His handler, Dick Cheney, the former chief executive of Halliburton, and its subsidiaries, which have been awarded billions of dollars in contracts from the so-called war on terrorism and the conflict in Iraq. These individuals are common thieves, crooks, hoodlums, outlaws. This week, the Pentagon said that the Halliburton company would repay the government for overcharges estimated at $27.4 million. For what? Meals served to American troops at 5 military bases in Iraq and Kuwait. Pentagon officials also said that the company had also agreed to pay the government $11.4 million for meals served at 4 other bases. Last month, the company disclosed that 2 employees had taken kickbacks from a Halliburton subcontractor who was providing services to American troops in Kuwait. The company then reimbursed the government $6.3 million. Pentagon officials claim to be surprised at the latest overcharging incident. They said they expected lawmakers to question Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld on the matter when he testifies to the House and Senate committee. Who's kidding who? That's not what, you're not going to hold your breath to expect anything come out of that. These outlaws, these crooks in Washington, are forcing domestic and foreign policies on our nation that are bleeding our country dry while enraging and alienating the people around the world. Who needs to worry about lies about weapons of mass destruction or the lack of ties between Hussein and the perpetrators of September 11 now that they have caught the butcher of Baghdad? Bush might have thought they could gain some political mileage from Hussein's arrest. But the terrorism that this illegal war and occupation has unleashed in Iraq will continue and increase. And Hussein can no longer be blamed for it now that he is in our custody. Meanwhile, what's happening? Our sons and daughters, cousins, grandchildren and friends die and are maimed in this evil, illegal undertaking. Hussein was one of the United States' main allies in 1980. We, in fact, provided him with the chemical weapons that he used against his own people. Now, suddenly, we are pointing the finger at him. What is the Bush administration's idea of justice? The new Iraqi criminal statute under which Hussein will likely be tried was established and created in Washington, D.C. at a cost of $75 million. That is money the United States used to handpick Iraqi citizens hanging out in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere to form what they call the Iraqi Governing Council, approved by the Pentagon and the State Department, including our man, Colin Powell. It is the first international criminal tribunal that has no United Nations involvement. Its decisions will also be tainted because it was created while Iraq was under the illegal occupation of the United States. Bush once again has violated international law and turned this nation into a lawless rogue state, a pariah within the international community. None of the three existing tribunals, that is, the International Criminal Court, the ad hoc courts in Yugoslavia and Rwanda, allow for the death penalty. Yet, this new Iraqi court may well permit capital punishment, as does the United States. The United States alone in the developed world carries out to the day capital punishment. And we know within the context of the United States the racist imposition of the death penalty over 300 years of both de facto and de jure racist application of the death penalty. Under international law, Iraq must grant defendants the fair trial rights guaranteed under the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which Iraq ratified and which requires that the accused be brought promptly before a judge and informed of charges against him and be afforded a speedy and public trial with a presumption of innocence and counsel of his choice. In fact, the United States, which also ratified this covenant, has denied all of these rights, not only to Hussein, but all the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, at concentration camp, as it does in prisons throughout the United States, for those who are being held on terrorism charge incommunicado without lawyers or charges being filed under the so-called Patriot Act, or being held as enemy combatants. Hussein's arrest came right after the Bush administration was put on the defensive by the revelation that Vice President Dick Cheney's former company, Halliburton, also overcharged the taxpayers $61 million for delivering oil to Iraq. My friends, we, the people, can't allow these travesties of justice to continue without our voices being raised in protest. One of the most tragic aspects of the media spectacle of Saddam Hussein is that it distracts us from the hell our troops are facing for no good reason in Iraq. Not only has the Bush administration denied the people the right to mourn with the families of dead soldiers as the caskets return shielded from media cameras, it has withheld Purple Hearts so many of the hundreds of wounded cannot be accurately tallied. Since the attack and occupation of Iraq, based on lies, New York City alone has lost 13 of our sons and daughters, more than 500 from the United States, and countless thousands of Iraqis, mostly civilians. Today I was reading a letter from a grieving father to George Bush, which illustrates this fact that common folks on whose children's backs this illegal war is being waged are beginning to ask serious questions. Let me just take a minute and read this letter that this man wrote to President Bush. He said, "Dear President Bush, with heavy heart, tears in my eyes, and a home full of sorrow, I pick up my pen to write you about a brave soldier, Second Lieutenant Seth J. Dwovin, the United States Army. He was my son. He was killed in Iraq on February 3rd, 2004, fighting in a war. Seth was a good boy, well-mannered. He was smart, kind, and understanding. He joined the United States Army in an effort to serve his country. And serve his country he did. Seth made the ultimate sacrifice. Burying a child for any parent will no doubt be the hardest task that his mother and I shall ever have to do. The one question I have for you, Mr. President, is why did my son and every other soldier that was killed, maimed and wounded, have to suffer to settle your vendetta? My son is gone. Just when he was laying a strong foundation to build upon for the rest of his life. Now, President Bush, his life has been snuffed out in a meaningless war. Where, President Bush, are all the weapons of mass destruction? Where are the stockpiles of chemical and biological weapons? Please, President, pray for all our fallen heroes. And as a tribute to these heroes, get our boys and girls out of Iraq now before too much more blood is shed. Since you waged this unnecessary war on Saddam Hussein, the world has become a horrible place to live in. I know my boy is safe now in a new world free of hate and prejudices, where God is his president. But you tell me, President Bush, why he had to go so soon and in such a violent way. Respectfully yours, Richard M. Dworvin. We must make this administration accountable and responsible for the crimes that have been committed against the Iraqi people in violation of international law. As we meet here today, the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, of whom I am the Vice President and the permanent UN representative, we have gathered international law experts. We are drafting an indictment to try Bush, Blair, and others for war crimes, crimes against humanity, that have been committed in Iraq. There are those who say, Lennox, you know that no matter what any international tribunal does, the United States is going to ignore it. And I remind them, Augusto Pinochet not only was the president of Chile, not only did he assassinate Salvador Allende, not only did he terrorize thousands of people, but while president, he passed a law giving himself immunity for life. Over the last 20 years, there are some of us who have been arguing that there ought to be universal jurisdiction for people who committed those crimes. Never really thinking in my lifetime I would see a judge in Spain issuing a warrant for a crime that was not committed in Spain, handed that warrant over to Scotland Yard. Pinochet was vacationing. Scotland Yard served him a warrant. He said, "Do you know who I am?" They said, "Are you Augusto Pinochet?" "We have a warrant for your arrest." George Bush will not always be the President of the United States. We hope to retire him within the year. But as quietly as it's kept, Henry Kissinger, you remember him? Henry Kissinger is afraid today to travel to France, to Belgium, because international warrants are out there. And that's why the United States has refused to sign the statute for the International Criminal Court. They understand that the rest of the world is not going to be hoodwinked. We must join together with all those who are fighting against injustice, and we have to fight in order to have our voices be heard. I know that every day we live and work reminds us that we have not succeeded in purging the institutions of our society of racism and injustice. The time is here to really carry the legacy forward, to ring out the warnings to our people as we always have, to ring out the warnings by struggle, by sharing our understandings of what's happening with our neighbors and families, and by acting on this understanding. Many Americans are unaware of the extent of the suffering that has fallen on the bottom 20% of the population. Many low-income Americans are leading lives of grim and painful determination, struggling to survive from day to day. The contrast between the real lives of the families sinking beneath the weight of economic distress and the headlines that continue to insist that everything is all right, the economy is booming, everything is cool. This election year is a perfect time to be heard, to tell the candidates that we will not be ignored, that getting our votes will mean they must show real resistance against the regime in Washington. We must also get our friends, families, and neighbors, get them out to protest and to resist and to register to vote. That is the only way we can carry the legacy forward, which is the theme of this evening. In all of the years that I've been an activist, I've never argued that elections made a difference. I've always said the two political parties are nothing but Tweedledees and Tweedledums. This year, I say, get out the vote to throw the evil bastards out of office. ABB, anyone but Bush. Then we'll continue our struggle. Aluta continue. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to attorney Lennox Hines.
It's somebody else. It's always somebody else. Somebody else is always somebody else.
This has been a Building Bridges Your Community and Labor Report special.